Grace, mercy, and peace is yours from God your Father in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Moses, the one to whom, in the words of our text, God chose to speak to face, the one of all men and women in Israel who saw the form of the Lord, especially in the burning bush, the one to whom the Lord spoke plainly, not in figurative language, the one who himself then spoke the very words of the Lord plainly to the people, the one who led God's chosen people out of hell on earth, slavery in Egypt, the one who with Elijah returned from the dead to appear with Christ himself on the Mount of Transfiguration, the one of whom our writer says and of whom the writer of the Hebrews says, the letter to the Hebrews says, was faithful in all God's house. The one who was God's gracious gift to his people, bringing them through trial after trial, the instrument of God's loving will for his people. The one of whom it is written, since then there has not arisen a prophet like Moses. And the one of whom Christ said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Moses, prefigurement, type, prophet par excellence of Jesus Christ himself. Moses, redeemer, small r, of Israel, in the name of the redeemer, large r, of all mankind. Now, Moses' older siblings, Miriam and Aaron, knew all this. They had lived it. They had experienced it. They benefited from it. They had had a part in it. Miriam as prophetess, Aaron as high priest. They owed their very existence to it. Moses was indeed the mediator of their salvation in Jesus Christ. And yet, in our text, we see them in the grossest of sins. Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us? What was their sin? Was it jealousy? Was it envy? After all, Moses had become the head of a pretty big organization at this time, since the Lord had just given him 70 elders as assistants. What was this sin? Was it simple pride? Was it self-centeredness? That quality that Luther described as curvatus in se, being curved in on oneself? What is your sin when you say or think, boy, what a dumb professor, I won't know more than he does? Or, wow, how I could teach this vicarage supervisor. Or, gee, I wish someone would just ask me how to run this seminary. Or even a little closer to home, boy, are my parents out of it if they would just listen to me. Or this pastor of mine, wow, now that I'm getting this theological education, what I could teach him. And ultimately, I know what's best for me, and I know what's best for you. What is your sin? Perhaps jealousy? Perhaps envy? Perhaps pride? But perhaps more, perhaps the sin of attacking and hating God himself. For Moses was the instrument of God himself. Moses revealed and carried out the divine will for the people. And Miriam, the leader in this incident, and Aaron, the follower, couldn't stand it. They wanted to be God too. They wanted part of the action. If you're honest, you want to be God too. You want to be in the limelight. You think you deserve a little recognition. You think you should be the center of attention. You think you have the answers. Even though you might maintain a pious facade, you chafe under the Ten Commandments, just as Miriam and Aaron chafed under Moses' divine leadership. Just think for a minute about how much time you spend thinking about yourself. You don't love God first, you love yourself first. Just as Miriam loved herself first, and Aaron loved himself first. Well, what did Miriam and Aaron deserve for their rebellion against God? What do you deserve for your rebellion against God? Just leprosy? Just a physical illness? Just a bout of depression? Just frustration and difficulty in getting work done? Just a slap on the hand for being bad boys and girls? Absolutely not. Miriam and Aaron and you and I deserve nothing but death. Nothing other than having your life snuffed out right now. Nothing other than an eternity in the relentless torment and pain of hell itself, where your and my only companions would be the devil, his evil angels, and all the malefactors of the world. Now, what did Miriam and Aaron get for their sinful rebellion? Forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness. Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days with leprosy, a God-given consequence of her sin. But she was healed. Did you hear that? She was healed. She was let back into the camp. And only after 7 days of exclusion. Her leprosy was gone. She was pronounced clean. That's forgiveness. And to boot, the whole people of God waited for her healing and did not move the camp until she was cleansed and returned. She who deserved nothing but death as a result of her sin was given life. She who with Aaron attacked God himself was restored by the one whom she attacked, her Lord. That's how loving he was and he is. The good shepherd left the 99 to go out to find her, the lost lamb, and to restore her into fellowship with him, the Lord, and with the Lord's sheep. And what have you received for your sinful rebellion? Forgiveness, life, salvation from the very one you have offended, Jesus Christ himself. Even in the midst of your self-centeredness, even in the midst of your hate for God and your rebellion against him, he still loves you. Christ perfectly loved his Father where you have hated him. He did it in your place. Christ willingly anguished and suffered where you should have. He did it in your place. Christ died for your sins. He did it in your place. He did it all for you. He did it in your place. And now, baptized into that wonderful death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you live as his forgiven child, loved by him, even in spite of your wretched fallen nature and continuing sins. And just as God, through Moses, continued to provide sustenance for Miriam, Aaron, and all the people of Israel on their journey to the promised land, he continues to provide you with that same sustenance on your journey to the heavenly city. He feeds you with his son's true body and blood, incorporating you into him and him into you. He absolves you through the word and hand of your Moses, your pastor. He assembles you here with the angels and with the archangels and with all the company of heaven to hear the divine life-giving truth. He daily reminds you of the faith that he first implanted in you in holy baptism. He does not move on without you being in the camp. It is interesting to note in our text that Moses does not get upset about Miriam and Aaron's rebellion against him. In fact, he says nothing at first, and the Lord in the text simply says that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Like Christ, no defense when under attack. And also like Christ in this, that when Miriam was afflicted with leprosy, and Moses could have justly said, ha ha. Instead, Moses cried out, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Christ continually cries out to the Father for each of you. Please heal them, O Father. Please forgive them, O Father. Please remember that I have paid for their sinful, hateful rebellion. And in fact, the Father has heard the cries of his Son for each of you in your particular situation in life. He has healed you of the leprosy of sin. He has restored you to the camp. He leads you on to the promised land as part of his holy Christian church. His holy word and his blessed sacraments are the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night that light your way. Though you will fall and stumble, there is no crevasse too deep. There is no desert too wide. For the Lord and his grace in word and sacrament. For they are the Lord's abiding love for you. Your Lord Jesus is tangibly with you, even unto the end of the age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.